Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And it's been a busy week. It's been a hectic week. There's a lot of serious stuff out there. And we covered it and we continue to cover it. But we do take an opportunity for the last hour of the week just to chill a little bit, look forward to the weekend, how we might entertain ourselves. And it can be on the stage. It can be going to the cinema. It can be just putting your feet up and watching something good on the telly at home. Or you could be out and about. And we want to hear whatever you've got planned for the weekend or any recommendations of what to do for the weekend. And we want you involved in this segment of the show. And it's 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Now, I do contest that I never said the wrong name of the business of the OB today. But some people seem to believe I did. So I'm going to correct myself, even though I don't believe I made a mistake. Tune in to Around the Northwest with John Bresnan from 12 till 2.30 this afternoon. He's broadcasting live from Bredin's Furniture in Moville. They're celebrating 42 years in business, a remarkable achievement. Yesterday, we were celebrating Genesis in Gwydor, 30 years in business. Some amazing businesses, of course, right across the Northwest. So drop into Bredin's and chat to their team, have a look around. And also, too, you can see our say hello to our team up there as well. Right, let's say a good morning to our two guests, as always, for this segment. And that is Fionnuala Rabbit.
Hello, how
are you? Good morning, Fionnuala. I'm doing fantastic. And Michael Letty, writer and blogger. Michael, how are you?
How you doing, Greg?
Thank you so much.
Great
so
to be
you've
here.
Had a week now.
Yes.
It's a week since Swift-mas Day. Hopefully that's not sacrilegious or anything. Taylor Swift's album. What do you think? 35
yeah.
tracks.
Yeah,
were you expecting
yeah,
a double drop, Michael?
Totally know what you're talking about.
Taylor Swift.
I've heard of Taylor Swift. Yeah,
oh,
heard of Taylor
I
Swift.
I thought you were a Swiftie. No.
No.
Okay.
No. There was one Taylor Swift song that was used in that TV show, The Bear. I like that song a lot.
That's it.
That's about
but
it.
But I would say, because I think the album was eventually released at 2 a.m. last Friday, and I would say there was lots of houses across the Northwest where young people and not so young people mm-hmm. were up listening to it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
First listen.
Yeah,
she's a phenomenon.
I know,
yes.
but
isn't she?
I don't, to be honest, I don't dislike any of her music. The bits I've heard is fine,
yeah.
but I don't get the phenomenon.
Mm.
Like, I don't get why people go out with her. And this sounds nasty, right? And I don't mean it as that. But you go out with her and next thing you're at least five tracks on the next album. Greg Hughes, he's an Aegis.
I know, I don't know. I know Travis, that Travis Kelce guy is, which again, why do I even know his name?
It's like, it's the footballer.
Yeah, it bothers
oh, yeah.
me. That
he's
I
the
actually,
next album.
I know. Oh God, yeah. Well, as soon as
Adele's another one I'd avoid.
Oh, well, her latest album, I didn't think, her latest stuff, which...
Is it not
honest,
normally breakup albums?
No, the first one was very breakup-y, but I don't think the next one was, which is why name two tracks off it. People okay. love a good breakup album. That's the whole thing. So I never really understand that either. And when they talk about her as being like really empowering for young people and, you know, for girls and women, you know, women and girls. And I'm like... I'm missing. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I just don't.
It's not
for
us.
No harm to the girl.
Yep.
She's a billionaire. She's clearly doing something right.
Unbelievable. But it's almost like it is almost like a TV show. Her album release, she does one a year, and it's kind of like TV specials. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's an event.
It used to be. It's an event. Mm. And 31 tracks she's released in a year.
Oh yeah, sure. People went to that. I have not had
31 ideas.
Oh, anyhow.
In 7 years sitting in this seat.
Oh, in a lifetime.
And she's
in a lifetime, 31 I haven't had 31 good ideas.
But does she, I don't know, does she have a team? You know, is it a team that puts together the tracks?
I think she's pretty much in control.
She's in control,
yeah,
okay. But even so, there might be, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe there is, you're right. Maybe,
maybe.
There's songwriters.
But you don't know. You don't know. Like some
could be ghosting for her. But I'm telling you now, whatever way she does, her marketing is amazing.
Didn't somebody...
They did that Eras Tour thing and the people went to the cinema. and they were like passing out in the cinema with excitement.
Right.
Not even like live. But she was going out.
Were they throwing popcorn around, Fionnuala? Like crazily throwing popcorn at people around in the row in front and the row behind?
She was going out with she was going out with some fella from the 1975s and they split up. It was only a fleeting relationship, but in one of the songs she references a pub about him going into a pub. And there's a pub, there's a pub in Cork with the same name, and he's known to frequent the Cork area, right? And they've been inundated with Swifties from all around the world ringing up, asking for information, all this type of stuff. There's a similarly named pub in London, but that's the level of interest there is in what she writes. That people, is that the pub that Taylor Swift's ex went into?
Yeah, they reckon that Jake Gyllenhaal actually is losing out on stuff because he went out with her. And she wrote an album about him, and apparently his popularity levels went so low that it could be impacting like his career choices. You're like, it's insane.
Gareth on Facebook, please say hello to my son Zach. We're heading down to Mandela Park for I believe it's a Japanese car festival. It's on Sunday, and Zach is incredibly excited. Why wouldn't he be? That sounds like it's going to be fantastic. There's another event where not all Japanese cars, but similar cars, the Boar, and I can't remember what it's called. It's coming back to the Northwest this year. Right, OK. Anything you want to talk about, get in touch with us. 086 60 25000. This is the type of year, time of year where I'm useless at this because I'm watching snooker. So I've no input in this at all. Michael Leddy, Leave the World Behind. Talk to me.
Yes, this is a film. It's been on Netflix for a couple of months, but I only caught up with it a couple of weeks ago. Last week you asked a question about the film. We were chatting about the Civil War, about did it work anyway like the movie Don't Look Up? Now, that one didn't, but weirdly, when I was watching this film on Netflix, I was thinking, wow, this is what Don't Look Up should have been. Mm. So this is from a guy called Sam Esmail, who is the guy behind Mr. Robot, the TV series, excellent TV series, around 4 seasons. And he did a TV show with Julia Roberts, the name of which escapes me. It's probably in my notes here. So this stars Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke. Yeah, Homecoming.
He's good in it.
Have you seen this one? Yeah,
I have. Yeah,
seen this one. So it starts off with them. They're a very ordinary family in New York City. She wakes up one morning ahead of him, and she decides they need to get out of New York, just get away from the city. She hates people. So when he wakes up, she announces that she's booked a holiday for himself, herself, and the two kids, sort of older teenager, younger girl, and probably not a teen. So they head out to like Rhode Island, out to, you know, about an hour and a half, I suppose, outside the city, and it's remote enough. It's at the, you know, beachside, and they have rented a house, like an Airbnb setup. And it's all, that's the first, you know, 20 minutes of the film. It's all very good, setting up the scene. As the day goes on, the phone service goes out, and then the TV channels go out, and see a couple of strange things, but they're basically cut off from the outside world. And this is where you start to realise the film is a thriller. It's a thriller. And there's this ease, lack of ease, and an increase of tension as time goes on. So by the time they get to nighttime and bedtime, they've had a lovely day. They've gone to the beach. They've seen one very strange thing at the beach. I'll skip over it for now. But yeah, they're just cut off from the world, and they've no. And obviously, the kids are anxious because, like, they love their games. They love their, you know, their game, their connection to the outside world. Then very late at night, there's a knock at the door, and Mahershala Ali shows up. He's the owner of the house. Well, he says he is, although Julia Roberts has her doubts. But he says that he and his daughter, who's with him, were in the city. There was a power cut, and they live on like the 14th floor. So it was much easier to just drive out to the summer house to go start climbing. He says he's a bad knee and stuff. So there's a bit of conflict, a bit of tension, but they agreed to let the owners of the house stay in the bedroom downstairs, spare bedroom, if it's really them. And it all seems a bit odd. And then when he is alone with her daughter, she's like, are you not going to tell them? And he's like, no. It's important that they think everything's going to be all right. So I'm not going to say much more.
I can't remember the end of this film.
Good.
No, I could. I did.
Yeah.
did you
like it?
You've got a decent excuse. I did enjoy it.
Yeah. I can't say on air what happens or what's going on, because that's the mystery. It's like, and it's this thing of, what if we were cut off? Like, even, it doesn't have to be in a holiday home, in Donegal, but you could even be in a small village. Imagine you just, the phone service went out and TV went out, and then you were like, what's going on in the outside world? It makes you think of it. I mean, it's a smart film.
It's what living in Lahey is like. I'm only joking. I was thinking, where could I get away with saying that about? But anyway.
So I thoroughly enjoyed this. I enjoyed the performances. I am a latecomer to the whole Julia Roberts thing. I never really watched her rom-coms or was interested in her movies in the 90s or whatever. But anything I've seen her in the last few years, I've like, yeah,
she's very different in the roles she's taken on. Oh,
she's very good.
She has that versatility.
Kevin Bacon is in this as well. I like Kevin Bacon. He's a good support role as a sort of a survivalist kind of guy that she sees on the way to the house. He's like this guy who's like stocking up on bottles of water and stocking up on things, and he looks at her and she looks at him, and you're... and Ethan Hawke's great in this as well. Mahershala Ali I like a lot. He'll be playing Blade in the Marvel film next year.
Okay, like Blade. So he's taking, hope they don't destroy that.
Yeah, I hope they don't destroy
that. Yeah, it is. And you know, don't watch the trailer before you watch it, because Michael's been really, really careful in avoiding saying stuff, but it's all there. It's all in the trailer.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. But no, you're better off. I mean, I knew very little going in. See, I wanted to watch it because of the guy who made it. I wanted to watch it because of him, because I love Mr. Robot. Mm-hmm. And Joe Dex has been discovering Mr. Robot, and we've been chatting about it.
Well, discovering is one way to describe it. Falling in love.
Yeah, falling in love. He's been totally falling in love with it. So that put this back on my radar, which was, I think it came out around Christmas. Am I right? And I just didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
So
well,
I was
like, with Netflix, it's up there. And
it's up there, yeah. So I would point people towards it as a smart movie, very much about the present day, very much about our connections to the outside world. And if we lose those, and then, you know, if something's off, and there are a few things I've left out, but yeah, there's some strange things happening. Like one of my favorite things, and this is definitely a spoiler, but where they're living, there are deer, and there's like a couple of deer standing quite brazenly looking at them, you know, from the poolside. And then later on, like another half hour into the movie, like that night, there's maybe 10 deer coming out of the woods and just staring at them. Mm. Just staring. And then the adults don't see them some of the times, but the girl does. And we see them. And you're like, what the heck is...
I didn't really see any significance with that.
Yeah, well, it builds to something near the end.
Yeah, and some people weren't happy with the end because it's not quite what everyone might want. But anyway. Okay,
yeah,
so
agree.
That is Leave the World Behind. It's on Netflix. It's a big film.
It's a huge
film.
Yeah.
It looks great. And just it's a good show.
Coming back to what you just said there, 74% of critics gave this the thumbs up. But coming right back to what you said, only 35%.
That's because they don't like
the ending.
But I was
fine with the ending. I loved the ending.
Okay.
Loved it.
Yeah, and critics always sort of seem to be more tolerant of a film that's not necessarily wrapped up in a bow.
Sure, I agree. Yeah, completely, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Greed.
Everyone is talking about Baby Reindeer.
Mm.
You know, we talk in the past, Fionnuala, about shows that... You know, that a few people watch and then they tell friends and it's the water cooler stuff and on and on and on. I can't put a figure on the amount of people that have said to me, have you watched Baby Reindeer? Have you watched Baby Reindeer? It's another Netflix show.
Yes.
Is it as good as everyone's saying?
It is. It's do you know what it is? It's not that it's as good as everybody's saying. It's that there's some great performances in it. The story in it is not necessarily something new. If anybody hasn't seen it, basically the story is, it's based on a true story about Richard Gadd. Richard Gadd stars in it, and he also wrote it. And he is a comedian. Now, he's a comedian that, to be quite honest, I've never actually seen or heard of, but apparently he did a lot of fringe stuff, and he particularly did stuff in Edinburgh in the Fringe Festival. Back in the day, he was, trying to make it. He kind of has a sardonic sort of a quirky kind of a style that not everybody likes in his comedy. But he's struggling away to make it. In the meantime, he's working in a pub and he meets this woman. Now, this woman becomes absolutely obsessed with him. So it's strange in that, you know, normally when you see these movies, it's actually the other way around, in that it's a male that, you know, you think of those different type of things where you have the stalker. And this woman, she's about 20 years older than him or more. And she just keeps telling him things about her life, and they don't appear to be true. And then all of a sudden, then she's emailing him like 15, 20 times a day. She's calling him. She's telling everybody they're in a relationship. It just becomes very much then about him trying to get help and, you know, I don't want to give too much away from it, but it's all, and it kind of delves back into how he thinks he became a person that somebody would become. I'm not trying to say this is the it's hard to phrase it, that's not the individual that stalked his problem, but you know what I mean? like he had had other issues.
Did
that
he
had
lead
happened.
Her on, or is he complicit?
Yes, you see, she in the beginning she was very flattering, and he kind of liked that, and he became, you know, and he befriended her, and he would, you know. I suppose he was charming to her was probably the best way to sort of phrase it. And he was kind of flattered by this fact because, and he sort of outlines the reasons why that kind of happened. You know, he had other things going on and some of the extremely serious things that happened in his life. And they kind of brought him to this sort of, he was sort of in a low point of his life himself. And this came along. So the story, as I said, is not... kind of a different story. It's just really that it's been flipped on his head.
What do you think has gripped audiences so much about it?
Jessica Gunning is the lady in question who has become obsessed with them, the actress. People may have seen her. She was in Pride. She's you kind of, when you see her, you'll be like, oh God, I've seen her and stuff. She's that kind of a... she is amazing in this.
Right.
You just, you don't know whether or not you kind of think to yourself, I mean, partway through it, you're sort of thinking to yourself, oh, look, I'll be your friend. You know, that kind of way. Come and stop.
So she's sympathetic.
Yeah, like, she's unbelievably sympathetic. She's there's just something about her. I think, she, for me, she was a phenomenal part of it, that it just kind of, she really grips you. And then it does go into a lot of detail about him and his life, which is obviously a lot more background and kind of things like that. So there's a lot of kind of reveal, shall I say, rather than... give Anthony away in it. Like, because when I started watching in the beginning, I was like, I'm not too sure about this. But then once you kind of start getting into it, you learn more about them. They really kind of give you a lot of detail about the characters and that kind of thing. And I just thought she was fantastic.
So, yeah, it is. I mean, we've seen it probably in, as you say, there's nothing new on about it. But the commentators seem to say that this is not what you'd expect from a Bonnie Boyler story.
Yes. You know. It just has I think it's just, it looks at it more in, rather than just somebody's kind of gone completely psychotic. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there is major issues with anybody that does all that kind of, all that stalking. But it's very, it gives you a lot of depth into the characters. It gives you a lot of sort of reasons why different things happen.
I think I'm correct in saying too, he didn't want to call her or refer to her as a stalker or something, even in, because it is a real life story.
Yes, it is. Yes, it did end up. And he's I think he's kind of sympathetic to the fact that she's unwell. You know what I mean? And he does, in this particular instance, as I said, he seems to be looking at himself and where he was in his life at the time and ways in which he probably should have, or he feels, I should say, because you don't want to start and say, I don't want to say anybody that's being stalked. Obviously, it's the person doing the stalking that is.
But he does. He explores his complicity.
In the initial, you know, times when he should maybe have walked away
from her.
Did he
have a responsibility, perhaps, and I'm guessing here, in knowing that maybe she was vulnerable?
I think he does look at it, for me anyways, watching it, that's what I felt. I mean, others might have a different thing, is that he kind of looks at it and sort of says, you know, there was a couple of warning lights earlier on, but he didn't walk away.
Because maybe he was enjoying the flattery, maybe.
There's an element of that involved in it, you know, the way. So, like as I said, he looks at his own life and how he got where he was.
Okay, so you were a wee bit tentative at the beginning. Once concluded, where are you putting this in a scale of
1 to 10? Yeah, well, I had it down last week to kind of talk about it, and I was like, yeah, no, it seems fine. But actually, I
finished it in between.
Yeah, so I've just kind of been watching it through. So I did, I really enjoyed it, and everybody enjoys it because it is kind of different, and it's very well done in the sense that, like, there's like some funny bits in it, there's quirky bits, while you still have this, you know, relationship that you're kind of exploring. And it's very humanized, I suppose. That's probably a good way of describing it, because, like I said,
feels real.
It does, and you can feel for both of them. And I suppose it feels real because it is real. You know what I mean? It is a true story. And I think, keep an eye out for Jessica Gunning. We are going to see her after this. We are going to see her all over the place. This girl, she's going to be the next, like, Olivia Colman.
So you're going to go an 8?
She's so good.
Wow. Are you going to go
so
an 8 on it?
I would definitely go with 8 on it. Okay. It's definitely worth sitting down.
I think it's the next thing I'm going to watch.
It's not very long. I think there's like 8 episodes I've been trying to do. So it's not very long.
They're half hours as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
that's weird.
No, okay. It's not really, because they do pack a lot into it now.
Okay, good.
Well, The Bear is a great drama series that's half hours as well. So you can do it.
No problem. Right, we're going to be talking about drama coming to Killybegs and Dunloe over the coming days and weeks after we take a quick break. And then, of course, much more from Michael and Fionnuala. Okay, so an important part of That's Entertainment, as well as talking about what's on the telly or in the cinema, is also promoting and supporting what's happening locally. And with that in mind, I'm going to tell you that there is plenty of drama coming to Killybegs and Dunloe over the coming days and weeks. Talented children from the Foresters Community Hall Drama School in Killybegs are taking to the stage over the next two weekends in two very different but exciting shows in the local Foresters Community Hall. We're joined by playwright Paula McMullen. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg. Great to speak to you.
Great to have you with us. Okay, so talk to us about these shows. There's two shows. Is there Murder at the Manor and The Mystery of the Stolen Sheep? And it's local children that are involved. Is that correct? Is it uniquely your local children, or they're just a key part of the cast?
No, they're all local pretty much to Killybegs and Brockless, Dunkaneely. But we started the drama group in the Foresters Community Hall in Killybegs last year. There was a lot of demand, and I thought, we'll do a few classes, and it turned into a full-scale play, which was incredible. We're up now to 30 children, and we do have a waiting list.
Wow.
So this year, because it was such a huge group last year, I divided the groups into two, and I wrote a play for each of them. And the first one that's out this weekend is Murder in the Manor, and or Murder at the Manor. And it's sort of based in the Forester's Manor, and it features the Forester ladies who are setting the scene for a dinner party to welcome the dishy new doctor into the village. And there is a death. We have a ghost. Everything is laid out. The kids are playing it very formal. And it's actually hilarious because it's very much, it's kids playing adults. And so we have an investigation. We have the inspector and her trusty sidekick, the guard. And things unfold. We have a kind of a narrator, but there's a lot of it that will unfold, you know, over the night. So that play is on this weekend, Saturday at 8 o'clock. And we have Sunday matinees at 3 o'clock. So that's the Murder in the Manor one.
Well, it sounds really interesting in that it's interesting in that you haven't written work specifically for children. It's children in adults' parts. That adds something to it as well, doesn't it? And it's a what people might know as a whodunit. So it sounds like it's going to be great. The second, you're saying there might be still a few tickets left for that show.
Well, we're not selling tickets. The hall is huge. It's pay at the door,
okay,
and
brilliant.
That works.
Fantastic.
Because we're so busy, that would be a whole job all in itself. And I think because we're trying, like, the kids really respond well to all the hype and all the social media, and we keep that going. And we had a full dress rehearsal for Murder at the Manor. Now, this play I actually did write for the kids, but it's one of those plays that an adult cast could take off quite well too. It's just, while it's serious, we have had 10 weeks of the kids literally cringing and with embarrassment and giggling at some of their lines and some of the actions. And last night it just flew. And we also have a priest in it as well. So we've a bit of everything that a village has.
Okay, fantastic. Now, the second piece of work is The Mystery of the Stolen Sheep. So runs in May. Both of these are in the Foresters Community Hall. Is that correct?
They're both the kids' plays are, they're part of the Foresters Community Hall Kids Drama Group, and the plays are in the Foresters Hall, which is an amazing group. It's an amazing venue. And also, I have to say, the support I have, this is a community-based show. It couldn't be done without everybody pulling together. The hall, if I need something, it's there.
Brilliant.
And the parents, It's like, give me a job, give me a job. And I mean, you just don't get that a lot of the time.
Okay. So the second show, on May the 8th at 8 p.m. and there's a matinee again on the 5th at 3, sorry, May the 4th at 8 p.m. I think I said, with a Sunday matinee at May 5th at 3 p.m. It's the mystery of the stolen sheep. Yeah. A brief outline of that story.
Okay, this was actually based on a puppet show that I wrote years ago, and I wrote it around my father, Porrick, the sheep farmer, and his trusty sheepdog, Jip, who actually do exist. And then what I did when I had to write the second play, I turned it into a stage play. And there are, you see, there's 15 kids in that play. And basically, Porrick the sheep farmer sitting at home, the postie arrives every day with news that there's sheep being stolen in Corkerbeg. And all the locals are talking about it, but Josie has all the news, or so he thinks. And sheep keep getting stolen. The biggest thing about this play for the kids is there's reference to this big sheep farmer, Big James Anthony, and everybody is scared of him. And when his sheep go missing, the whole village are like, up in arms, and who would be so stupid, never mind brave, dare we say. And the kids don't know who Big James Anthony is. Big James Anthony will make an appearance at the end because you hear about him the whole way through, but he doesn't come through. So we have two robbers. We have a living room scene with Porrick and his wife and their family. And I was listening to you earlier. They're Taylor Swift mad in our group. And I mean, my eyes roll every night. And two of the kids in the play are actually in the play. They're cast as if they're getting Taylor Swift tickets. Oh, wow. And the kids, one of the kids' dads actually made them Taylor Swift tickets, which they could make a fortune on in the black market. Fantastic. They're so good.
And just a quick word on Dunloe, because there's a bit of it's a work that goes back over a decade, and it's an adult cast this time. Some of the original actors are back in. So talk to us a little bit about the show on May 9th.
Okay, we are going to be featured as part of the Dunloe Flacule this year, which is a great honour. And the play that I had written, I wrote it for the Ardra Gathering, and it actually went out for the Ardra Flacule some years ago. I think it was 2011. And it's based on the American wake. You know, the wake was held before people went to America because chances are they may not make it or they may never see them again. It's humorous, but it's also quite poignant and it's quite factual. And I have two of the male actors have been in all of my plays that I wrote and directed for Enniskill Drama Group, James Elliott and Connie Bennett. And they're in the play. Also, Karen McConnell and Josephine Sweeney, who are two exceptionally seasoned actors in Ardra, they're in all the plays. They're reprising their roles again to be in the show. Uh-huh. And I also have Maura Logue, who everybody knows in the arts circuit in Donegal.
Yes.
And this is actually my first time directing Maura. Normally, it's the other way about. But I'm delighted to have her on board. And also Freya Lomax, and she is going to be doing a lot of singing as well as quite a comic part.
Okay, so Shane
Bracken.
Yes, sorry. Beg your pardon. Oh, I thought you were finished. Yeah, go ahead. I was going to ask how people get tickets for the show in Dunloe on Thursday, May 9th.
Again, it's pay at the door. And the venue is the little theatre space above the library in Dunloe. And there is lift access, so it's very easy for everyone to make their way there.
Brilliant, Paula. You're very busy and you're leaving people spoiled for choice.
We're hoping to.
Brilliant. Okay. Thank you so much, Paula, for your time.
The first play was out on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. I'll mention that again. Thank you very much indeed. Paula McMullen there. So Murder at the Manor takes the boards 8 p.m. this Saturday and on Sunday at 3 p.m. And you can just pay at the door. That is at the Foresters Community Hall, Killybegs. May 4th, 8 p.m. Sunday, May 5th at 3 p.m. sorry, is The Mystery of the Stolen Sheep. And then that show as part of Dunloe Fla Kiol is on May 9th. Okay. A caller says, have any of the panel watched Quantico? We're most of the way through the first season and find it pretty decent. I have never heard of Quantico.
I'm aware of it, yeah. I think it's from a couple of years back. So there's probably.
It's a good few years back.
Yeah, it's a good few years back, yeah. It's the FBI training facility, yeah.
What about Red Eye on Sunday night? Any of you watching that? Colin wants to know what you think, the panel thing.
Oh, that's. I read about that. Yeah, that's the one that's set on the flight, isn't it? It's the. That looks,
I saw the trails for it, but.
It looks very good. I haven't seen it, but it's very high on my list. I want to see it because the premise is good. And the lead actor is somebody that I like. I saw him and I was like, oh, I like him. And I can't think of who it is, but there we go. There we go.
Caller says, this weekend night, why not walk the Muckish Railway Walk near Creasler and pop in for a coffee at the Wild Heather Brew Coffee Trailer, which is open 10 to 4 Saturdays and Sundays. Bit of advice, sounds like a bit of a plug, but you know what, it's snuck through and it's grand. Back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. Now, there's a fundraising dance in St Eugene's Hall, Moville, tomorrow night. It's from 9pm to 12am. It's in aid of motor neurone disease and it's supporting Adrian Harkin. So you'll have a good night out there and supporting a very good cause. The Gemma McHale Memorial 5K Walk Run takes place at Ahiarn Centre. Today, is it? Yes, Friday the 26th. It's this evening, though. Race begins at 7:30pm sharp if you want to clear the cobwebs at the end of the week. Proceeds are going to counselling in the local primary schools, MS, cancer care and local charity events. Refreshments will be served afterwards. That is the Gemma McHale Memorial 5K Walk Run at Ahiarn Centre tonight from 7:30pm. And St Angus National School Parent Association presents David Craig and his band, supported by Joanne Lilly. It is tonight at On Green and Hotel. Doors open at 9pm, dancing till late, and all funds go directly to St Angus National School. So tickets €15, another good night in store there and supporting supporting St Angus National School. Right, what's Brooklyn 999 doing on my list?
Cause
your list?
My list, because it's on Netflix.
Cool, talk to me about it.
Cool. That's what he says. You don't watch it, no?
No.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh, wow.
You've never seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
You've never seen
Cool.
I was trying to support him.
Well, thank you for that.
No,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I finished season 5 this week.
The Fire Brigade?
That is so close, but wrong.
Okay.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a long-running American sitcom. It was on Fox for 5 seasons. Then they cancelled it. I'm at that point during the week. I finished season 5. But NBC picked it up for 3 more seasons. The guys who put it together, Dan Gore was the guy behind Parks and Recreation. Michael Schur was the guy. He worked on The Office. And he was also behind Parks and Recreation. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is about a squad of cops in New York City. Andre Brower, the great Andre Brower, who passed away recently. Far too young. He was only in his early 60s. Was a revelation in that show. For those of us who watched him in Homicide back in the 90s, which was an ultra serious cop show. Then he did a few other good shows, different things. The one about the vigilante taxi driver, the name escapes me, a good show. A few different shows. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine was a very funny half-hour series around a squad of misfits. So it's a workplace comedy. And it's got your... it's a heartfelt but very funny show. I finished season 5 this week. I'll jump right into season 6. I'm going to keep on going. It's funny, but it's also a quite serious show sometimes, and I like that balance. One of the episodes I saw in the last couple of weeks was one where it was just an interrogation, and it was sort of a call back to when Andre Brower was in Homicide, because a lot of the episodes of Homicide involved his character, Pemberton, getting a suspect in the box and spending a long time just interrogating them. And they were some of the best TV scenes filmed in the 1990s. I really stand by that. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine did one of those. They put a comedic spin on it, but they put Andre Brower back and Andy Samberg back in the box with a guy for a full hour. And it was an actor who was on that show, This Is Us, but I didn't watch that show, so, but a great actor. And then there was a later episode where one of the crew was at a situation where there was a shooter and people were being shot down and the rest of the squad had been told to stand down. So it was like what it's like when you're a cop and one of your people is on site and you can't get in touch with them and stuff like that. So for a comedy series, it touches the dramatic elements of these kind of things. But it's mostly a very, very funny show. It finished season 5 with the two lovebirds of the crew getting married. I can't believe Fox pulled the plug at that point, but luckily NBC picked it up for 3 more seasons. I've not seen these last 3 seasons. I'd fallen away from the show, and I am delighted. It's on Netflix. If, like Greg, and I can't, but there can't be too many people like Greg, can there?
I don't watch TV comedy.
Yeah,
so
it's not your thing.
It's just,
I know, I'm just
it's time.
Yeah. But it's a very funny show. It is a very funny show.
Falula, I've seen it three times. The whole series. Okay. The whole
you love
season.
It, do you?
Yeah, it is one of the... Between this now and not having ever heard Taylor Swift Shake It Off, you are definitely...
Not heard Shake It Off?
He apparently has never heard Shake It Off.
No. I'm like, the song I know from Taylor Swift is Romeo and Juliet, because they used it in The Bear. No. And I did seek it out and I played it to death for a couple of weeks because I thought it was a great track.
I hope this doesn't impact your recovery, but you have been in a coma for at least 2 to 3 years.
There are some things in popular culture that no matter how nerdy you are, you can't avoid.
Yeah.
Shake It Off by Taylor Swift is one of those.
Well, he obviously has been in a coma for 2 or 3 years.
Have you heard of Beyonce's Texas Hold'em?
Who's Beyonce?
Now he's just been in Egypt.
I've heard of Beyonce, but I haven't heard of Texas Hold'em, no. No, I haven't.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is an amazing half-hour program.
Yeah, it is.
It's really good. It's up there with the best of them. You put it up there with Parks and Recs.
Easily.
You put it up there with Modern Family. Well, you rewatch Friends now and...
It doesn't age.
No.
I heard that, yeah.
It doesn't age as well as you'd like it to. Even though it's still enjoyable to watch, but you know what it is about these... The Modern Family and Parks and Recs and...
30 Rock. I'm watching 30 Rock again. 30 Rock's amazing.
I fluctuate on 30 Rock.
Oh, 30 Rock's probably the best
Brooklyn
of them.
Nine,
sharp.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is... I will agree.
Stop adding things to my list.
It's sharp. Yeah, no. But the thing about it is they're very...
You can't throw things on my list. No. I have a list.
Yeah.
But they're very... they're kind of very smart and they're nuanced and there's a lot more depth in them than there was in the likes of Friends and other shows like that were further back. They're just really... You couldn't even compare them. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is fantastic. It really is. Totally watch it to the end. And Andrew Bauer is amazing.
Amazing.
It was a huge loss when he
passed
away.
Yeah, huge, tragic loss. Because I loved his work since 1991, too, whenever Homicide started. I've followed him through. I just loved that guy. He was so good. Yeah. So good.
And Andy Samberg is fantastic.
Samberg's amazing.
There's just
anyway, we don't
amazing.
Want this to be a Brooklyn love fest.
Yeah,
we used
but
it, to.
Yeah.
No,
it's such
just
a great
really
show.
Good. I rewatched it again because I'm still trying to find one that's as good as it.
To be honest, that search has been ongoing for 3 or 4 years.
Nothing has come up that in any way kind of like is as good as Modern Family, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, those kind of things.
And it can be
if
really
anybody out there is watching a half hour. Comedy show.
Yeah, I don't think this is.
I don't know why you don't like it. Half hour comedy show is lovely before you go to bed.
And I love workplace
you know
shows.
Kind of like
yeah.
Sitting down. You know when you come home and you're like,
yes.
You need to unwind for like. But if you watch something for an hour,
I know what
it's suddenly
saying.
It's late. Whereas a half hour thing, you can even watch it on your phone.
Yeah. No.
Just kind of like
you lost me there.
Relaxes you and bring. You probably don't have a smartphone. It just relaxes you and kind of like brings you down. You're
what's
lovely,
a smartphone?
And you go to bed. I love a half hour comedy. I'm constantly looking for a
is
new one.
Is it still 1998? Maybe I have been in a coma. I don't know.
Foresters community all commented on Facebook, thank you very much on behalf of all the children in our drama group. Well, I'm sure the shows are going to go down a storm, and it's just great to get to talk about them. Okay, so listen, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't think it's the type of show you give out of 10. You love it if you watch the 5 series, and it ticks.
Can't wait to. I'm just rolling right on into season 6. I'm just going to go to the end now.
Okay, we'll be back with more shortly. Donegal Firefighters Association are announcing, and are very proud to do, that they're entering a team into this year's Relay for Life event. Conor McGuigan is chair of the Donegal Firefighters Association and is with me now. Good morning, Conor.
Morning, how are you?
I am doing good. Right, so there's a lot going on, isn't there? Tell us about some of the events that are upcoming and where and when.
Well, there's a lot of events happening now for this year's Relay for Life. If you check out the Relay for Life Donegal page, that could tell you any kind of particular events happening around your local area. We are and for the Letterkenny area at the minute, we are holding a wee spin challenge in the shopping centre tomorrow. Between 10 and 4 p.m. So just wanted to give a wee shout out if anybody's around, if they want to come down and show the support.
And you're hoping to cover the distance between Carn Dunnagh Fire Station, Glen Colum Kill Fire Station in full gear, or
Oh, no, I don't think it's pushing the full gear now. It'll be challenging enough now. But again, it's an idea. You never know what might happen on the day, you know.
There might be one or
but,
two.
Yeah, we'll try and cover the distance between Carindonagh and Glenconkill, which would be the two furthest apart stations geographically, you know. So, it'll be interesting.
And people can donate as well to support. What else is happening from the firefighters' perspective?
As in, what do you mean now?
I should be clear. The candle bags, you're going to have them available for purchase on?
Oh, yeah, we'll have candle bags on site, and hopefully, and we'll have a raffle. If people get into a raffle too as well on the day. And again, we're just looking to raise as much money as we can for the cause, you know.
Brilliant. So it is tomorrow. It's at Letterkenny Shopping Centre from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Firefighters looking to cycle the distance between the two furthest apart stations, that is Glencolumbkill Fire Station and Carindonagh Fire Station. If you see them at it, give them a support, give them a wave, give them a clap. But if you see a bucket, chuck some money into it if you have it. And also, you can make a donation on relayforlife.ie. / Donegal Firefighters Association, so people can still support your efforts.
Yeah, that's it. If you want to check our page as well.
All right, well done.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get loads of... check out their. Go ahead, sorry.
No, there's a slight delay on the line, Connor. It's me arguing with a politician and not trying to plug a fantastic event like this, but people can go on to relayforlife.ie and check out everything that's happening, of course.
Yeah, and if they wanted to donate, they can through Donegal Firefighter Association Facebook page as well. There'll be a link posted on that as well.
All right, good man, Connor. Thank you very much indeed. A caller's watched the first episode of Red Eye, and it's very, very good, they say. Okay. Excellent. So that's a recommendation. Raymond Holt from Brooklyn 99 is the best comedy in 20 years.
Yep, that's the same guy we were chatting about. That's okay. The guy we're chatting about, yeah. Completely agree with that, okay. Yeah.
Fnuda, pick something for me off your list.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention The Red King. It's a new series that started this week. It's on Alibi Channel. Again, no more than my half hour thing. I desperately love a murder mystery type situation.
Alibi's free view too, isn't it? You have to dig a bit deeper for it, but it's
free
to
view. No, it absolutely is. And I really enjoy it, to be honest. I ended up watching it a lot because I like a detective show and different things like that. So that's just completely what it is. It's full of new and old detective shows just all day long. But this is The Red King. It seems to be an Alibi production, but I could be wrong there, but they're promoting the crap out of it, which
they started doing their
made it, yeah. So it started this week, but you can also watch the whole lot of it on the player. So I started off and I said, I'll watch this now as my new show for this week, and ended up watching the whole thing.
Wow.
So I watched all 6 episodes. It is based on, there's this young police officer, and we realise that something has happened, and she has been sent to an island off the coast of Wales. So first of all, it's all these Welsh accents, which
I love the Welsh accent.
I love the Welsh accent. So you can't go wrong there. No. There's some fantastic actors in it. I didn't even write down their names because, in fairness, there's loads of them. And none of them will you kind of know their names straight off. Mm-hmm. But again, you'll have seen them in loads of things. So just really enjoy, really some fantastic actors in it. But so this police officer, something's happened in London or the Met or wherever where she was, like some big city. Something's happened there and she finds herself on this posting out on this island. This island, like the way Michael was talking about his movie earlier, gets cut off during the year because of storms and stuff like that. And it could be like a week or 2 weeks. It's all very kind of flexible, all based on the weather. And all of a sudden, she is out there. She's not really sure what she's doing. She's a fish out of water type thing. And she stumbles across a mystery of a missing young boy, a teenage boy that went missing a year earlier. And it just kind of unfolds from there. And it goes through the whole thing of the whole island. There's a history of a cult on the island. There's a history of, as I said, them being isolated, and they were isolated at the time when this young boy went missing. They assume when anybody goes missing that they end up on the mainland. This is kind of the thing that goes on. And it just unfolds from there. Now, it kind of gets a bit wacky and a little bit left of field, because you have a lot of this cult stuff and things that start coming into it. I would say to people,
horror-infused is how they've described it.
Oh, really? Ooh. I would not have described it as horror-infused. because it's not. I would normally, when I think horror, I think kind of blood, jumps out, or like a lot of blood and gore and stuff like that. And it doesn't. I didn't notice that into it. It kind of takes a couple of twists and turns that you're kind of like going, what are they doing with this, and where are they going with it? So a part of me stuck with it for that fact.
But we don't mind it, by the time I got, sort of makes sense.
Yeah, when I
we?
Got to the end, I was kind of like going, that was daft, but enjoyable. And if they make a second series, I'm in. So I'm very kind of that. Yeah. Like, there's some brilliant acting in it. There's some great characters in it. You've got the whole, you know, stuck on an island. And I think that people will find themselves kind of sucked into it. It's that kind of a thing that you just find yourself sucked into because there's some very warm people in it.
Did it air anywhere else beforehand? Like, you know, BBC, Channel 4? Because it seems to be
that's
an English
production. I don't think so. I think, and I'm open to... contradiction, right. But I don't think so, because Alibi are kind of calling it there. Every once in a while, Alibi do their own thing. They've done a couple of bits.
Spend
and
a few bob on something.
Yeah, that they actually do their own stuff. So I think that that's what this is. That they've actually created this themselves, and it's not a bad job. But you've kind of seen stuff that's similar to it. But I've actually seen some American stuff that's similar to it. I haven't seen anything that's British, you know. You get
I like
a lot
the setup. I mean, it's not unfamiliar.
No, absolutely.
Cop gets punished, but thinks they're going to a backwater, and it turns out they've got the case of their life. And we've kind of seen it before. We don't mind if it's done
well. No, you don't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. To be honest, it's done because I think it's because it's set in the UK that makes it more. You know, I have seen this story, but I've seen it, as I said, in American.
Yeah.
I've seen. You remember we watched that Australian one there last year that was on, but I think because this is set in the UK, it just gives it that
right,
little bit extra.
You've watched it all. It dragged you in. It had you wobbling, but you stuck it out. What are you giving it out of 10?
Yeah, I definitely give it a solid 8. I enjoyed it.
They don't have a catch-up facility, do they?
Oh, yeah, they do, yeah.
It's all through the Skybox, is it?
Oh, yeah, so you can watch... Well, it'll be on the free now as well. So they have the... You can watch it week by week, which is on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. Or what you can do then is you can just, like, download it and watch it through their catch-up or their player, which goes through the free now. They don't have, like, an Alibi player. It's through the Skybox or the three now.
Right,
okay,
brilliant
stuff.
And it's coming up as 2024, so it is new.
All right, that's the Red King on Alibi. And if you have the Skybox, check it out through there. Brilliant stuff, Fionnuala, as always. Thank you so very much.
Very welcome.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the programme, Michael. Thank you so very much indeed. Enjoy your weekend.
Yes.
And that goes to the same for you, our listeners. Have a fantastic weekend. And enjoy the weather if it's good for you and you have some time to spare. We'll be back with you Monday morning at 9 o'clock.